Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs. I don't believe I've ever met a person that's interested in spiritual things that doesn't know how increasingly difficult it is to live in a society that's spiritually sick. A society that was once godly, but is now godless. I would tell you, my friend, that our families are at stake. Those who are parents, those who are intended parents, must choose wisely if moral and spiritual disaster is to be avoided in the home. Philippians 2 and verse 15 teaches us that living in the midst of a godless society is not unusual for Christians. Paul writes that we are to be blameless and harmless as the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. How is your light shining in the midst of our world? The fact is that you and I can overcome. 21st century America is no different and no worse than first century Philippi, first century Corinth, or first century Rome. Perhaps no Bible family depicts the dangers of living in a sinful environment more than does the family of Lot. The story is doubly tragic when we consider that Lot freely chose his place to live. It's not that he was transferred there by some corporation. It was not that he was born and raised there and couldn't get away. He chose his place to live. Lot's reasons for that choice and the results thereof have applications for us today. When Abram and Lot came out of the land of Egypt, they were both blessed with riches and cattle. You remember the story. They had so much that the land couldn't bear their flocks and the herds feeding together. It was no surprise that strife soon arose among their herdsmen. In Genesis, the 13th chapter, beginning in verse 6, and going through verse 9, we read of a most generous offer made by Abram. There seems, in studying that offer, to be two motives that were upmost in the mind of the one doing the offering. First of all, the possible negative influence of a quarrel between God's people on the native Canaanites and Pezerites were in the mind of Abram when he made the offer to Lot. Second, to Abram, it just seemed uncharacteristic of a wise old patriarch to fight over material concerns. See if that's what you get out of the story found in Genesis, the 13th chapter, beginning in verse 6. There the Bible reads, "And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Pezerite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said to Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me, and if thou wilt take to the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." What an offer made by that wonderful patriarch, Abram. Lot made a choice, didn't he? Lot chose the plain of Jordan. That's found in the next four verses after the reading that we just made. In chapter 13, beginning in verse 10 and going through verse 13, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere. before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves from one of the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. I want to ask you a question. From the standpoint of business, was Lot's decision a good one? Well, of course it was. It's evident that he made a sound business decision. The plain was well watered everywhere. Verse 10 compares it even to the Garden of Eden that we read about in Genesis, the second chapter, verse 8, 9, and 10. It's no wonder that Lot made his choice to pitch his tent toward Sodom, is it? Or is it? Was Lot's choice good? Did Lot consider, did Lot give the proper priority to a morality perspective? History shows that Sodom was one of the five cities on the plain. The inhabitants were probably Canaanites, we learn from Genesis 10, verse 15 through 19. Each of those cities had a king, even Zoar, which was the smallest. The cities were located in a circle, probably southeast of the Dead Sea. And even though we know little of the size and the inhabitants or the exact location of Sodom and Gomorrah, we know for certain the character of the people. Verse 13 of our text reads, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." So why did Lot choose Sodom? Why couldn't Lot see the foolishness of his choice and the disaster of such a choice? And why couldn't Lot see the future? The answer to that may help us in making decisions similar to that in our lives today. First of all, Lot failed to look at the past. There's a striking resemblance between the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Twice the New Testament places those men and their generation side by side. In Luke, the 17th chapter, Jesus speaks of his coming in judgment upon the Jews. I want you to look, if you would, with me to the 17th chapter of the book of Luke. In Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning in verse 26, the Bible reads, "And just as it had happened in the days of Noah, so it shall be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. And it was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, and they were selling, and they were planting, and they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." Did you see that? Did you see what happened to the choice that Lot made? In Peter's second epistle, he speaks of the Lord's ability to deliver the godly and to reserve the unjust for punishment. To illustrate, he again uses Noah and Lot. If you have your Bible with me, turn to 2 Peter, the second chapter, and let's look at verse 4 beginning. There the Bible reads, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly thereafter, and if he rescued righteous Lot oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day with their lawless deeds." So then we see the use that God makes of two very distinct situations and periods of time. the situation of Noah when the world was sinful and thus was destroyed by the flood. In the days of righteous Lot, he's called, when the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, the area where Lot chose to go when Abram offered him first choice on the way, when the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by God because of their ungodliness. Lot couldn't have been ignorant of the flood and why it came. His journeys with Abram placed him in constant presence of God. His own relationship with God would have shown how God hated sin. But it seems as though, doesn't it, that Lot ignored all of that. He placed his family in the wicked environment of the cities of the plain. Second reason Lot chose Sodom was that he failed to look to the future. He forgot to count the cost of his move. Are you getting ready to move? How do you count the cost? Is it purely a physical equation, or does it have to do with spiritual decisions? You and I should count the cost on every decision that we make in our life. It was as true then as it is today that evil companions corrupt good morals. That's taught by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. There are some questions that Lot should have asked himself. What effect will Sodom have on the spiritual well-being of my family? Lot should have asked. Who will my children want to marry? Lot should have asked. Who will influence my children? Who will influence my wife? Lot should have asked. Certainly that has application today, doesn't it? Surely Lot placed material prosperity before he did spiritual prosperity. The Lord asked at one point, "And what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Matthew 16 and verse 26. Have you ever given serious thought to the words that I just read? To own the whole world, all of its riches, all of its power, all of it, just for you or just for me. It's hard to imagine even having a small piece, isn't it? But Jesus says the soul is worth more than having all of the world. There are many, like Lot, that forget their priorities. He forgot that the spiritual needs of his family were primary, were more important than the grass and the water to feed his herds. By contrast, Abram went through the land building altars and calling on the name of the Lord. I wonder how many altars Lot built in Sodom. If he built any, surely the influences of the Sodomites blotted them out, not only of the culture, but of history. So it is with us today. We will never gain the whole world, probably won't even get as much as Lot did. But we're losing our souls sometimes by pursuing that little piece that's available to us, that crust that we desire so much. What about the present decisions that you're making? Is it a good job? Is it a good education? Attractive marriage partner? Let me tell you, my friend, that a job or an education or a marriage partner that leads you away from Christ is not a good choice. It's the same kind of choice that Lot made. If you're planning a move, is there a faithful congregation of the Lord's people where you're planning on going? Will they build you up or will they tear you down? Is your next decision for yourself or for God? Lot's choice brought about tragic results. He lived in the midst of sin. Never have there been more wicked cities than Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 13 and verse 13, Genesis 18 verse 20 and 21, Genesis 18 verse 32, Genesis 19 verse 5, verse 7, and verse 13 all talk about the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. While sodomy may not have originated there, it certainly owes its reputation to that dark place. The dictionary gives the sordid details, but we'll simply say in this radio broadcast that It's talking about homosexuality. Make no mistake, sodomy is a crime against God, and it's a crime against fellow man. No man, no child has been born with those tendencies. An infant is pure and holy. A sodomite is the exact opposite. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 33, unless you are converted and become like little children, you can't be one of mine. Would Jesus have said that about someone with a tendency to become a homosexual? Leviticus 18 and verse 22. Leviticus 20 and verse 13. Romans 1 verse 26 and 27. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9 and 10. Describe the heinous nature in the eyes of God of homosexuality. Our government condoning it, our government protecting it, our government threatening those who cry out against it, don't change the facts. It's a disgusting sin, and it's on the rise in our society. Society cries for understanding of the homosexuality. We are told that they can't help it. We are told that they must be accepted and that we must be careful and not violate their civil rights. It's just the way that they are. Some have even entered into the pulpits of denominations. My friend, homosexuality is a crime against God. Homosexuality is a crime against fellow man. It is disgusting to every faithful Christian. How long will it be before we face the situation of Lot? The Scripture says both old and young, all the people from every quarter, came to Lot's door. Not even guests were safe in that place. Only the power of heaven's angels thwarted the lustful designs of Lot's neighbors. Lot's souls, according to the passage we read in 2 Peter 2, verse 7 and 8, was tormented daily. I'll say right here that I'm thankful for Peter's statement concerning Lot's attitude and his character. Without that statement, I surely would have misjudged him. Just Lot, that righteous man, is how he is described by inspiration. We're told his righteous soul was oppressed and wearied and worn down by his neighbor's sensual conduct. This vexation of spirit was repeated day after day as righteous Lot was forced to hear and to see their lawless deeds. Surely he wondered oftentimes, why did I choose such an evil place to live? Why did I stay in such a place? Lot made decisions that had consequences. Surely, the results of his decisions are manifold. The first was he lost his children. Some may have been destroyed in the city when God burned it to the ground. We aren't sure how many daughters he had. Some had married the godless men of Sodom, Genesis 19 and verse 14. In their later incestuous relations with their father in the mountain cave, there can be no doubt of Sodom's evil influences on them. Read Genesis 19, verse 31 through 38, and you see the contemptible nature of the family of Lot in the sight of God. Only if Lot had realized that his greatest wealth wasn't in the herds and the flocks and the tents, it was in his children. The Bible teaches parents to not only provide for the physical needs of their family, but also for the spiritual needs. How many parents have given their children everything from the physical, but the most important thing at all is just neglected? We're to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. They must not only learn right from wrong and good from bad, but must learn to desire good and to detest evil. It's a matter of education. Godliness cannot be forced on anyone. That education, my friend, takes time. The older the child gets, the more time it takes to teach applications of spiritual principles. Social pressures tend to cause children and parents to make wrong choices. But when those choices stand before us and those decisions are ours to make, we need to remember Lot and the decisions that he made. A second result of the choices of Lot was that he lost his wife. Her years in Sodom had eroded away her respect for God. How can we put our wives in such dangerous atmospheres? Her desire was to look back, and that cost her her life. Her heart was still in that wicked city. Luke, the 17th chapter, verse 31 and 32, deals with her desires for the physical. I wonder, my friends, how often do we look back? How often do we desire that which we set aside in order to be pleasing to the Lord? Where can the responsibility be placed for Lot's loss of his family? Well, certainly, each person stands accountable for his own actions. How Lot must have regretted his own initial decision to pitch his tent toward Sodom. The third result of Lot's decision was that he lost every material thing. He went in full, and he came out empty. Genesis 19 and verse 30. The parting scene of divine history leaves Lot as a poverty-stricken old man dwelling in a cave with two immoral daughters. In conclusion, John 17, verse 15 and 16 teaches that although Christians live in the midst of an evil world, we are not to become a part of that world. We cannot avoid every evil, but we can overcome evil with good. Lot's family shows the foolishness of compromising our soul's salvation for a mess of pottage. Those saints that are wise, those Christians with wisdom, will not place their trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. What choices are you making for yourself and your family in the midst of this crooked generation? I pray that you'll consider these things. I pray that the decisions that you make that affect you and your family will be decisions that are based upon serving God, that will be the top priority, that you'll love your children and your wives enough to put them in atmospheres where they can grow spiritually, that you will not be a hindrance in any way to them going to heaven. I hope that you'll come and visit us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. We're located between McDowell and Thomas Roads on 40th Street. That's about a mile or mile and a half from the airport. If you'll come north on 40th Street from McDowell Road, you'll find us about four blocks up on the left-hand side of the road. Our street number is 2202 North 40th Street. At this place, our only creed, our only teaching, is that which we can read in the Bible. I don't expect for you to believe that, but I do offer you a challenge. Come and see for yourself. You know, when Andrew went about finding his brother to tell him that he had found the Messiah, he said, "Come and see." I offer you the same challenge. Come and see. Bring your Bible and check those things that are done at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. Turn to Romans 16 and verse 16 and see in the Bible where you can read the name Church of Christ. Then come and see and evaluate the things that we do in our worship service. And if you don't find a biblical passage for everything that we do, ask someone. We'd be happy to show you in the Bible where we find authority for those things that we do. And let me say that if we cannot find it in the Bible, then we'll change it. We offer you that challenge. We speak where the Bible speaks, and we are silent where the Bible is silent. If you enjoy this radio broadcast, or if you would like to have any of the broadcasts that we've made over the past couple of years, go to our website. You can find that at www.montavistacoc.com. When you get to the website, it's pretty plain and self-explanatory. You can go to the archival section and we'll send you a DVD or a CD of any message that has come over these airways. There is never any cost or obligation for that service. We would like, on Judgment Day, to stand side by side with you and hear Jesus Christ say, "Well done, good and faithful servants, enter into the joys of your Lord." That is our passion. That is our prayer. I pray at the conclusion of this lesson today that we will have an unusual opportunity to shine a bright light for Jesus Christ. And when our last breath is drawn, when Christ shall come as he left, with the trumpets sounding in the clouds, or we breathe our last, we will be found to be walking faithfully in the cause of Jesus Christ, and that our home will be eternity in heaven. That which Jesus is preparing for us as we speak, John 14, verse 1 through 3. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.